It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 8th day of September 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. It's also where we keep the chat room tucked away. Go to HeadOn.live, click on chat room, and if you've never done it before, pick out a screen name and a password and hop right in. And you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, has better sense than to fold space into the heart of the sun. Hi, I'm Bob. This is the day after Labor Day. Thanks for the day off yesterday. It was badly needed. And thank you very kindly to an anonymous member of our community who provided a have-a-show-on-me on the condition that, in fact, I did take Labor Day off, with a note telling me that of all the days that working people deserve to get off, take off, Labor Day is the day. And so what a real pleasure it was. I'm still Ferg's cab driver. I've taken him to work every day, so that was, you know, every day this past weekend. Today's his day off. Tomorrow starts a sojourn in hell, because where he was working days, they've now moved him to working the 4 to 12 Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which means I have to be over there. I have to have him over there by 4 o'clock, which means that in turn I come racing back home to get on air on time. If I'm late tomorrow, apologies in advance. I hope I won't be. But then, after the program ends, you know, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, then I hang around for a little bit, and then along about 11, I head back to Beckley, and hopefully get home by about 1. And that goes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Friday is going to be particularly interesting because we'll get home at 1, and then I turn around and have to have him back at work at 9. All this for a job in retail that pays him a whopping $9 an hour. He has to work a little over 2 hours to afford the gas to get him to and from work. Man, I tell you what, that is a company that is running on Milton Friedman-esque principles of keep the workers desperate and terrified and broke. And ordinarily I would say, no, you know, that's just ridiculous. But I'm trying to... He needs the, I guess you'd say, occupational therapy. But it is a grind. and I'm living in dread that next week will see us on the midnight shift. Take him to work at 11 at night. Get out of bed at 6. Nope, take him to work at 11. Home by 1. Up out of bed at 6. Pick him up. Oh, God, I can hardly even stand to think about it. Because it's taken a toll on me. Yesterday, though, was lovely. I went and got him. Picked him up at 4. But prior to that, I had gone to my local Kroger. And if you've got a Kroger or some member of the Kroger family, in their meat department, you can find these vacuum-sealed flat iron steaks. Little known fact, I think I've mentioned it before, it is the second tenderest cut on the whole beef, second only to the filet or the tenderloin. And it's a bargain, too. For $11, I fed 3 people. With beef prices being what they are, that's not too bad. What I did is I poured a bottle of Greek salad dressing into a Ziploc bag and dropped the flat iron steak in that, threw it in the fridge, let it marinate for a while, several hours, as a matter of fact. And I found some green tomatoes at the grocery store and some yellow straight-neck squash and proceeded to make a seasoned flour of just flour and sugar and salt and black pepper. Doused all the squash slices in milk and then threw them into the bag and shook them and let them sit there for a while. Did a slightly different variation with the green tomato slices. That was seasoned flour and milk and a couple of duck eggs scrambled and cornmeal. And it was milk, flour, egg, and then cornmeal. And I did all of those on the griddle. So we had sliced, thinly sliced, super tender flat iron steak with fried green tomatoes and fried yellow squash and a little salad. And it was heavenly. Oh, it was very good indeed. So I can highly recommend that. I did the steak. I built a small fire in the acorn and did it that way. So, and the thing is, at least here in Appalachia, well, this is summer's swan song. We got up into the mid-80s. We'll do it again tomorrow. Not a cloud in the sky. Just exquisitely beautiful. And so I was outside as much as possible. Got some sun on my pink flesh and made some vitamin D. They say that's good to have here in the middle of the dondemic. And made a lovely evening of it. And so that's how we get to here we are. But every program at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thanks go out over the course of the long weekend to our subscribers for the 5th, 6th, and 7th of the month. In short, that means that means thanks going out to Lauren out in Far Canoodlia. Thanks to Roberto and to James. Thank you, Kevin, in Colorado Springs. Thank you, Kenda, in Missouri. Thank you to Bernice. Thank you very kindly, Batty Boop. Thank you. Thank you to our buddy Don in West Tennistan. Thank you to Michael in Madison and to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you to Bob in North Carolina. Thank you to John. To Chris in Germany. Thank you to Kitty in Boston. Thanks to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you very kindly to Brock and to Reed. Thank you to James in Illinois. Thank you to Marcia. To Sue back again in the Great Northwest for Earth. Thank you to Nancy and Brandon. Brendan. Thank you to Dwayne. Thank you all very kindly. And our fundraising goal for this evening is at $385. That's $185 remaining from last week, plus today, $385. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont for getting us started, and that makes it $375. Ralps says she'll kick in $25 if there's $25 from other folks. Thank you, Ralps. That's a great way to get us started. That'll take us down to $325. So there's a $25 challenge on the table. And we've got a note. Well, Bob. Yes, after checking the Wisconsin polling from this weekend, it appears the great Trump bump didn't last long at all, as Joe Biden is still up by 6 points after the stunning theatrical performance of the Republicans with all of their bullshit pomp and circumstance and their Republican convention. The Rona Romney McDaniel. McDaniel, the Rona, get it, claimed the Democrat ratings were so low because nobody was buying what the Democrat Party was selling. Democrat, little, yeah, ick. Well, somebody should inform the Rona. Far fewer people were buying the Republican charade of a parade of right-wing propagandists tossing their fascist rhetoric up against the proverbial wall. And no, the Mexicans are not going to pay for that wall either. As the ratings were worse for the radical right-wing convention than they were for Democratic presentation of the previous week. From the very beginning, when Trump came through the double doors pretending to be Putin to the entire affair being cast illegally on the people's property, the whole week was about who could kiss dear leader Donald's, Ronald McDonald's supersized elephant ass and making sure socialism does not infect the country like the coronavirus has. By the way, doesn't Donald look a lot like Ronald McDonald? Well, there went any fondness I ever had for Ronald McDonald. Again, Republicans are confused about what really has made America great, which is and always has been socialism. Compared to what has made America deathly sick, the rampant spread of the crony corona corruption and unregulated crony capitalism. Those are the real viruses. Then the orange, odious ogre attempted to play to immigrants by declaring five of them legal in one ceremony. What you did not see was the fourth woman in line. A Honduran refugee asked the cagey con man immediately following the ceremony if her children could be uncaged, and where could she find them? Then Trump tried to make a play to the labor just 10 days before this Labor Day when he had Kimberly Gargoyle, come to the podium and scream at the crowd. Many people assumed she was possibly in labor, and by all accounts, she later that evening gave birth to an RNC baby elephant. When the elephant realized who the mother was, the little guy slapped his mother with his trunk and took off. You could say that was a very truncated relationship. Oh, Joey went a long way for that one. As the baby elephant was leaving the hospital, he reportedly said, "We elephants are pack animals, not super pack predators." Then there was Lou Holtz, who always reminds me of Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies. Yes! This judgmental asshole made remarks about Joe Biden that were so out of line that Route 7, the Lou Holtz Highway in Ohio, should have the name changed to Lou Shitholtz Highway. Considering that's what the road will look like if Trump gets reelected and cuts federal highway funding. Yes, the Beverly Hillbillies were well represented, with Trump Jr. playing the part of Jethro, and Iwanka my daddy Trump Kushner making Ellie Mae look like a Mensa candidate. However, they forgot to have Jed Clampett come out with his gun, shooting at some food, and up from the ground comes some bubbling crude. And that would have covered the Second Amendment and the GOP's most coveted concern. Oil, yes, the Grand Oil Party. Not to mention, the fact that they are a crude lot to begin with, I will add editorially. This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, the 7th of September, Labor Day. with Giraffe working on making sure the Republican super PAC pachyderms become extinct. Yeah, wait a minute. What's that, Giraffe? $50 late Labor Day challenge. Giraffe says send the super PAC predators packing. Here, here. So thank you for that challenge. That means that there are now $75 in challenges on the table to help us knock down the $385 fundraising goal. And then this, and we'll get into the meat of the matter, the day's news and whatnot. It is, after all, Trump-tanic Tuesday. Full speed ahead, flank speed toward that iceberg. Every blessed day. Yeah. It's a note from our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown. And Paul has really outdone himself on this one. There's a ton of great information here. Paul is working his butt off, as he will explain. Virology lesson for the horn. I've not been able to write or call in lately because life has been very busy. My work has had us on overtime, and I've been working four out of the last five Saturdays in a row. Every free moment has been taken up with house maintenance or spending quality time with my family. I finally got a few minutes to breathe over Labor Day weekend and wanted to write in. First of all, I'd like to say that I've been a member of the Horn community for 10 years now. I first heard Bob on the Mike Malloy show. He was being interviewed by Mike about mountaintop removal and to plug his show. And I started listening to Head On Radio ever since. I became a member during the Great Kincaid Septic Tank Crisis of 2010. This was a tough time for the Kincaid clan. It was possible that they were going to lose their house. I remember it well. I emailed Bob when I gave my first donation to the Horn. I told him that he's not alone. Your allies are many. Now that we are all chest deep in the shit that is Donald Trump, see the segue there? That's how you do a segue. Septic tank to Donald Trump and being chest deep in shit. Now that we're all chest deep in the shit that's Donald Trump's administration, that message is more important than ever. The danger of Trump is that we constantly feel overwhelmed by the problems his administration is causing. Children in cages, a worldwide pandemic, protests in the streets, growing income inequality, and unmarked, masked officers arresting citizens can make us feel like we're being attacked from different fronts. On an individual level, each of us is being forced to choose between keeping your family safe from a disease or keeping your family sheltered and fed. Given the chaos, everyone has their own problems to deal with. While you're wrestling with your own struggle, you can feel like you're alone against the world. We must remember that we are not alone. Our allies are many. We are the majority, and everyone causing this chaos is the vast minority. So, in honor of my 10 years of being a Horn member, I'd like to put forth the Allies Are Many Challenge. I've been working on a lot of overtime, and fortunately, I'm paid by the hour. I'm offering a $100 matching challenge, $10 for every year I've been a member. This challenge will be available for the week, and I'll settle up on Friday. Make your donations count twice as much, up to $100. Now I'm going to switch gears and give a virology lesson to the Horn community. I'd like to put forth a disclaimer. In the past, I've tried to pull my punches and not depress the community, cause panic, or trigger people. I will not be doing that for this lesson. I will be going to dark places that may be uncomfortable for some listeners. If you're already in a fragile place, please tune out Bob's reading of my email. So please, if you can't take any more bad news today, I completely understand. You can listen to this when you're in a better place in the archives later. It's one of the things I love about our community. We are indeed considerate of one another. And so, having taken a moment to give folks who might not be up to the bad news a chance to turn down the speakers or whatever, we will forge ahead. Let's begin by stating the fact that I could be wrong, and I have been wrong before, Paul says. In a previous email in June, I estimated that we would be at least 200,000 U.S. deaths by the end of July and near 400,000 deaths by the Republican convention last month. While I do suspect that the administration has been hiding some of the numbers, the quadruple numbers of pneumonia-related deaths for 2019 versus 2020 in Florida, for example, I doubt they're hiding them in such great numbers as to make my estimates a reality. Well, let's do remember, in addition to what Paul mentions about so-called pneumonia deaths, let's just assume that if it's happening in West Virginia, we generally don't come up with things by ourselves that often, so it means it's probably happening somewhere else. Remember now, in a nursing home in West Virginia, if 20 nursing home residents come down with the Rona, here in West Virginia, we now count that as one case and not 20 cases. So there's that to add to Paul from Parts Unknown's overall suspicions. If you told me in June that we would have less than 200,000 when we were already over 100,000 deaths, I would have said you were being unreasonably optimistic and would have accused you of magical thinking. Given how careless the American public has been with mask wearing and social distancing, we've gotten off incredibly lucky. Given the fact that I've been wrong before, I may be wrong now, so I will be separating this virology lesson into fact and speculation sections. Let's start with the fact section. In a previous program, Bob talked about inoculate or viral load. Viral load is what it was called when I was taking virology and immunology classes in college. This is basically how concentrated a virus is in a breath, cough, sneeze, etc. The more concentrated the virus is, the higher the inoculate is. It takes a certain amount of virus particles to infect a host. The higher the viral load, the higher chance of infection. In that same program, Bob talked about how we're seeing evidence that the higher level of inoculate or viral load a person is exposed to, the greater likelihood the infected person will have more severe symptoms, be hospitalized, or even die. This is not an uncommon attribute for a virus to have, and it is not great for us that the coronavirus has that attribute. Now, here's another fact that may chill your spine. Children tend to have massively higher viral loads than adults. You know, when I first read that in Paul's note here, I thought, you know, I've always heard that it's worse to be bitten by a baby rattlesnake than by an adult rattlesnake, because baby rattlesnakes are more poisonous than adults because they have no ability to control the dose of neurotoxin. Well, this is similar. Have you ever caught a cold from a sick toddler? It's usually way more intense and takes weeks to get well. That's because younger children, usually under the age of 10, have much larger viral loads due to a variety of factors. Children have poorer hygiene than adults, much more likely to wipe their nose with their hand and touch stuff. Their immune systems are less developed and don't fight viruses as well as an adult. Lastly, they are smaller. If a child and an adult have the same infection levels in their body, they both will cough the same number of viral particles. However, since a child's lungs and mouth are smaller, the viral load is much bigger because you have the same number of particles in a smaller cough. Now some speculation. The nightmare I fear is students going back to school. We've already seen massive failures and infections spreading at schools that have opened up in August and colleges that have tried in-person classes. My worry is that young students in elementary school, due to bad social distancing and poor hygiene, will spread the virus more than others, and given their age, they'll be more likely to be asymptomatic but be high viral load spreaders. I picture these children full of virus going home and giving their moms and dads a hug. The higher viral load means that the parent or guardian will have a greater chance of being infected and have more severe symptoms. They might even die. I've not lost a parent yet, but I have friends who have. While it is never easy, I would say the worst age range for a child to lose one or both of their parents is 5 to 10 years old. Imagine the trauma and pain of losing a parent at that age, then combine it with living with all the guilt due to the fact that they got sick from you for the rest of your life. Also, how many economically disadvantaged families have a grandparent who are in the higher risk group as one of the only guardians of school-aged children? That is the fate we are possibly condemning thousands of children to by pushing the opening of public schools when we are obviously not ready and have no real effective plan. They just want the schools to open so it looks like we're winning against the virus, and it's not an in-your-face campaign issue that makes Trump look bad for the election. This seems to be their plan. Note that the pandemic wasn't even mentioned during the RNC last month. Now, a fact section. Oh, dear. Let's learn about aerosols for a little bit. The most recent research shows that COVID-19 doesn't live on surfaces so much as it lives in the air in aerosol form. When you breathe out, your breath is filled with water droplets. And in these droplets, hundreds of COVID-19 particles can be present. When these droplets hit the air, they float around. The virus wants the droplet to be breathed in by a new host. However, it's on a clock. Every moment that droplet is in the air, a few particles dry out in the air, especially if it's a warm, dry summer day. Once the droplet is dry, all the viruses in the droplet crash to the ground and are destroyed. Or the droplet can split into smaller drops as it dries, making each droplet less infectious. So if you did happen to breathe in a smaller one, there might not be enough viral particles in there to infect the person that breathed it in, or makes it more likely the person has less severe symptoms or be asymptomatic. Lastly, the sun can destroy the virus. Their protein shells can be basically sunburned and destroyed. The protein shell of a virus is very important. If it is damaged by creating a hole in it, then that virus particle is the equivalent of a submerged submarine with a big hole in it, or maybe a member of a Trump boat parade on Lake Travis near Austin, submerged, proudly flying its Trump flag. I added that part. These conditions can be combined to really make it hard for the virus to infect another person. Water diffuses sunlight, especially the deeper the water is. That's why you've rarely had parts of your body below water that ended up being sunburned at the end of the fun day at the swimming hole. In the summer, when a water droplet is in the air and the sun is shining on it, the droplet will diffuse the sunlight shining on it, protecting the virus particles at the core of the droplet the most. As that droplet dries in the warm, dry air, it becomes smaller and the virus has less depth within the drop to protect itself from the sunlight, and more of the particles are destroyed. This, then, is the main reason we were told COVID-19 might disappear over summer when we have hot, dry, sunny conditions. These are very unfavorable conditions for the virus to transmit. The fear of the second wave during the fall and winter is due to the fact that we will be indoors more, there will be less sun and more cloudy days. Increased humidity means the drops dry slower, if at all. And all of this means greater transmissibility during the wetter, colder, less sunny times of year. Speculation section. People have been feeling very safe during the summer. They've taken risks with social distancing and have not gotten sick. Say you're talking to your next door neighbor, and you both are not wearing masks and talking about 10 feet away over your fence for about 10 minutes. Let's also assume that your neighbor has COVID-19 and is asymptomatic. During the summer, the odds of you catching COVID-19 from your neighbor in this situation may be around 1 to 2%. Note, I'm speculating. I'm just making numbers up. In the same scenario during the fall, the odds of catching COVID-19 from your neighbor may be 10 to 20%. Again, I don't know the exact numbers, but the chance of transmission will probably increase at least one order of magnitude. To summarize my speculation, I believe that a large portion of the population has gambled with their health in the summer months and have had little to no consequences. They are not as vigilant as they should be and are in a prime position to spread infection during the fall that didn't spread during the summer. I believe the virus has a great potential to spread through a population that is not following social distance guidelines once we get into the wet and dreary days of fall. Fact section. As I have stated before, I work at name of company. We're making two of the components of one of the COVID-19 test kits. I've been in isolation protocol since March because we can't let the virus into the lab. Our site was one of two test sites for a new program. This program is a massive rapid testing program for COVID-19. Last week, the entire site was tested with a new fast-acting test. Results are given roughly 24 to 48 hours after you take the test. I received my results about 27 hours after I took mine. Thankfully, I tested negative. The purpose of this program is to quickly test an entire site if we have one employee showing symptoms or have someone living with them test positive. Some of our sites have up to 2,000 employees, and they're gearing up to test any of their sites if they must. Now for the wild speculation section. My company may be setting up these testing programs because they believe, like I do, that we're going to have much higher rates of infection in the fall and winter and want to position themselves to be able to test the entire site to make sure it's clear. I have read in numerous reports that the Trump administration is trying to reduce testing. The CDC guideline stating there is no need to test people who have come into casual contact with someone who has tested positive is one sign. Another sign is that the number of COVID-19 deaths since the end of July have stayed roughly constant. We have multiple sawtooth-like teeth spikes in death that shoot up to roughly around 1,000 deaths a day at the peak of the teeth. Positive cases per day have been dropping, but the fact that the deaths per day have remained constant over the past 2 months suggests that testing has declined, but infections have remained constant. If you shift available tests to places like my company where employees are following isolation protocols and are likely to test negative, you can have fewer positive cases while not decreasing your testing significantly. It would be a way to avoid such accusations of deliberately lowering testing by saying we're still doing the same number of tests, we just have a higher negative test rate, which means it may seem like we're beating the virus when the administration is actually doing nothing. They could just be playing a shell game. Public health advice. To the Horn family, I give the following information and suggestions. As we get into the colder, wetter months, COVID-19 will be able to infect people at a much higher rate. Time out. My apologies for that. That was a phone call that came through that was, well, it had to be taken. And so it took a few minutes, but didn't disappear. It just had to go dark for a few minutes. We were in the middle of Paul from Parts Unknown's overall virology lesson. So let's pick up with the public health advice. To the Horn family, I give the following information and suggestions. As we get into the colder, wetter months, COVID-19 will be able to infect people at a much higher rate. I know that everyone is masked up and following social distancing. You'll need to up your game starting this month to stay safe. Stock up on hand sanitizer and use it religiously. Go nowhere without it. Assume everyone you meet is infected and treat them accordingly. Don't keep 6 feet away. Stay 10 feet away just to be safe. If they aren't wearing a mask or wearing one improperly, stay 20 feet or more away. Strive to make your house and car as disinfected as possible. Pretend you're hosting a celebrity that happens to be germophobic, like Howie Mandel, and you want him to feel as comfortable as possible in your home or car. No social gatherings. Stay clear of restaurants and bars. Order your groceries online for online pickup if you can, and wipe them down thoroughly when you get them home. Lastly, take the time to wash your hands thoroughly for at least 20 seconds when you do wash your hands. My stepdaughter begins school next week on Monday, September 14th. Thankfully, it is 100% online, but not every school district starting this week or next week is going to be online only. Some of them will by hybrid or full attendance, assuming it takes about 3 to 4 weeks for poor decisions to turn into massive infections. That makes the news. That means we'll see community infections from school openings the week of October 5th, and massive hospitalizations will begin to crop up the week of the 12th. This draws ever nearer to the election, and I believe that COVID-19 will be the main news story leading up to it. Please be careful and vigilant. There will be no room for error during the winter months. We don't want to lose any member of the Horn community due to this pandemic. I hope that the winter won't be as bad as I think it will be. I hope I'm wrong, and much like the summer, we only lose half as many Americans as I'm predicting. I will keep my ear to the ground and write in when I can. Hopefully, I will have more time to write in once the overtime stops and I don't have to mow the lawn. Stay safe and healthy, Horn community. Signed, Paul from Parts Unknown. I suspect that Paul is right in everything he has said. When he says don't keep 6 feet away, stay 10 feet away. Well, we know from some studies that the exclusion zone is more like 16 feet. And so it will become more and more important that one stays out of public places. For the time being, because my county is an orange county verging on red, we're doing virtual schooling. But who knows how long that will last. That's why they've had free testing set up in the parking lot over by Kroger's here on several different days. They're trying to run the testing up so they can get the numbers down. Or at least that's their hope. So please take Paul from Parts Unknown seriously. It continues to be a nerve-wracking situation. Just yesterday, when I was dropping off and picking up Ferg at his convenience store job, I saw in the course of 1 minute 6 people enter that store that's only supposed to have a maximum of 5 in it, not wearing masks. And he can't even ask them to put one on. And he certainly can't throw anybody out for not. Because it's only a request. It's not a law. It's a mandate with no mandate here in almost level West by Cole Trump Jinyistan. And then, of course, I'm 30 minutes in the car with him and 30 minutes in the car going back every day. And it's terrifying. Genuinely, thoroughly terrifying. My God. My God. So please stay safe, and we're going to do the best we can to do the same. And so, as we sit here coming toward the end of the first hour of the program, minus the 13 minutes I was on the phone, we've got, let's see, $175 in challenges on the table. And if those challenges are met, that would get us within $35 of catching up from last week and tonight. There's a $100 challenge from Paul from Parts Unknown. Remember, he's calling it the Allies Are Many Challenge. There is a Send the Super Pack Packin' Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffery, and a challenge from Ralph's. So, hopefully, we'll knock all of those out this evening, although Paul from Parts Unknown's challenge extends to Friday. Then there is, just a reminder, the new subscriber challenge from our buddy Tony in Chico. Tony will double the first month's subscriptions for up to 10 $10 a month new subscribers, or one $100 a month subscriber, or two 50s, four 25s, eight 1250s. There's $100 out there to double your first month subscription for new subscribers. So, you know, the PayPal interface is right there on the main page if you want to jump in. We had two magnificent pieces of correspondence, and I wanted to make sure that we shared both of those. What Paul is talking about in particular could save a life or lives. Dave number 11 offering a hear, hear to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you, Dave. Darlene in Connecticut says, I don't know if there's a way to splice or segment out what you read from Paul from Parts Unknown, but if so, please do it. I can think of multiple people that would really like to hear it and would benefit from doing so. Post it on the Horn site, if you can, and on White Rose. Ask Mike Malloy and John Britovo to play it and make sure Ferg hears it. That was epic. Thank you, Darlene. I was just thinking about the very same thing. I'll try to go in and edit it out, so that it can be just a standalone piece. Ron and Raleigh asking, are you down with the sickness? Donnie Bag of Donuts just keeps going. It's going to take years to reverse the horrors this administration is perpetrating. I guess those training sessions were making the Obergruppenfuhrer uncomfortable. The hole keeps getting deeper and the walls angle inward. What Ron refers to, a story. Trump orders federal anti-racism training to be ended, calling it a sickness. A White House memo directing an end to the program said the trainings are anti-American propaganda and must stop. This past Friday, he directed federal agencies to end diversity training programs, and on Saturday called them a sickness that cannot be allowed to continue. So there will be no further, at least in the federal government, there will be no further discussions of critical race theory. There will be no further discussions of white privilege. The memo came from Russell Vaught, director of the Office of Management and Budget. Acting or actual? Did we ever? Did he get confirmed? When I thought Mick Mulvaney. What? Trump ordered the sessions canceled after learning federal agencies are spending millions of dollars training employees in divisive anti-American propaganda. Among other things, there was a statement in the training that said virtually all white people contribute to racism or benefit from it. Well, that's unassailably true. And, of course, they cited their reasoning for doing it as press reports. And what that means is the New York Post and Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, because they had a piece on it. Fox News picked up the New York Post piece and ran with it, doing their usual dead-level best to scare the living bejesus out of Emery and Marvelline sitting there on their matching Naga Hide Barca loungers. Vought even put out a tweet saying, "The days of taxpayer-funded indoctrination trainings that sow division and racism are over." And then Nitwit Nero said, "Report any sightings so we can quickly extinguish." When all we're talking about is the very essence and fabric of American society, social policy, and day-to-day life. And, of course, hashtag Trump is a white supremacist. We know that because he says things like the Chinese Kung Flu, the China virus, the Wuhan flu, and various similar aspersions. The daily barrage of hatefulness that takes place in ordinary American culture on a day-to-day basis. For instance, I think I've got it here. This piece of vicious bilge. No, that's not it. Might take a second. Once again, it's a woman losing her shit at, in this case, a Taco Bell. Because, of course, no, that's not it either. I'll get there in a second. Ah, there she is. Yes, of course, yes. This is a Taco Bell in Bolivar, Missouri, otherwise known as Misery. Now, you're about to hear a white woman go absolutely batshit crazy. What I find interesting, though, is that while we can see a face of someone sitting at the table with the person taking the video, precisely no one intervenes, even as this woman becomes more and more hatefully violent. Here she is. We don't need any anti-racism training in the United States. Don't need any critical race theory. Don't need to talk about white privilege. Oh, heck no. because, well, as John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, old balls and strikes, dead-eyed John Roberts, as it has so often explained, racism is a thing of the past in America.
Give me my goddamn pussy.
Oh, you're obviously having my head so good.
I'm so sorry.
I'm
going to
follow you.
Give it, please.
Watch me, punk, nigger. Nigger motherfucker. You ain't good enough for a real job, punk. Come on.
Curiously enough, the person she's screaming at, insulting, assaulting, attacking, they appear to be white folks. Not that it's anything in the way of a justification or anything like that, but damn. And no one steps up. No one says a word. As this, and by the way, no mask. This is, in addition to being a racist, this woman is a mask whole COVIDiot. The only way we're ever going to beat this thing is by shutting down for 6 weeks. And that'll just drive the racists even crazier.
Come on. I don't
need to eat, huh? Here's your receipt. You can look at it. It says $15 for three burritos and fries and two soft tacos. There's not a tip tag on it. You can leave at any time.
$15 for bring it up. Three burritos and two tacos.
Now, bear in mind, this is all over burritos and tacos, and she thinks, well, no, that's the wrong word. She believes, because this is what believing gets you, she believes she has been stiffed on either tacos or burritos or both. She doesn't have a mask on, and they're not even refusing to serve her for not having a mask on. Oh, I know how this woman votes.
We don't make the prices. You can call corporate. They might want to hear about that.
Yeah, I can
hear
about that.
But we
don't
make
my place.
Well, I think those jurors are ours.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me my fucking food, motherfucker.
Yeah,
that's where she pulls the little condiments rack off the shelf and throws it on the floor. Pushes more stuff in the floor.
Punk, bitch, I'm bringing my husband in here. Watch me, you little pussy punk. Okay. You're going down, punk, bitch. You trusted me. You fucked with the wrong motherfucker. I'm Charlie fucking Manson's daughter.
That's my daughter.
You goddamn right it does. I'll take you out, bitch.
And they all just sit there.
You're fucked, motherfucker. And you know, Lord, you need to fucking get the manager position and own your job and get these people straight.
Yeah. Because, you know, we're all good in America. No such thing. No. Jesus Christ. The cops eventually did show up. But that's not the point. It's a minimum wage job, and even if they were paying twice as much, it's not enough to cover the abuse that this woman doles out. But again, the fact that they sat, okay, good. I'm glad there's a record of it. But no one so much as said, lady, your behavior is unacceptable. Or how about stop it? And so there was a certain degree, I think you could say, of complicity within those diners there at the Taco Bell in Olivar, Missouri. How do we know it's going to get worse, as Paul from Parts Unknown predicts? Well, Dave number 11 just sent me a tweet, forwarded me a tweet. A sorority house on the campus of the University of Georgia at Athens. You know, it's a thing that people paint messages on bedsheets for broad display. And in this case, it's some smiling, happy members of the Phi Mu sorority. They're on the campus of UGA. And their bedsheet sign, proudly depending from the ceiling of their front porch, reads, "COVID positive, but at least we don't go to Auburn." Auburn, of course, burning up with COVID as well. Right. Exactly. Hey, thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene just matched Ralph's challenge. So that leaves $150 worth of challenges on the table still. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much for helping keep keep this program on the air for everyone who wants it. Thank you. Lee in New York, Taco Bell. Obviously, there's no white privilege. I'm sure that the customer will tell you that black people get away with far worse. Oi! Yeah. Oddly enough, we don't have a lot of those videos out there. And, well, we're not handling the Rona so well up at my alma mater, Harvard on the Mon, West Virginia University. Having shut the bars down last week, well, WVU has just moved to online-only instruction. Mom and Dad paying an exorbitant tuition to send their kids to WVU, especially if you're out of state. The WVU Dean of Students, Corey Ferris, told our right-wing radio news network in West Virginia today, "We've been watching the cases of positive students increase over the past week or so significantly. Obviously, we're part of the community and we're concerned about our students. We looked at what we need to do to slow down that spread. This pause for those in-person undergraduate classes, we hope, will give us that break. This is the eighth day of September. There will be 20 days of online-only instruction if the numbers come down. There will be a reevaluation on September 23rd to determine whether in-person learning on campus can get started back again." And it's pretty much a lockdown for the students. They can't leave the Morgantown campus except under cases of emergency. Off-campus students are not allowed to visit the campus, and they're told to stay in their residence except when necessary. "Well, it was necessary. I had to go out and get me some beer." Yeah. So the only school that isn't online, health sciences courses with students already engaged in clinical rotation. On the other hand, graduate and professional courses are continuing to be offered in person. I guess the theory is that by the time you get into a professional school like law or medicine or dentistry, that maybe you've got enough common sense to actually follow the rules. Don't count on it. This applies only to WVU in Morgantown, not satellite campuses. As of Sunday evening, WVU had suspended 29 students for fraternity parties. Dean Ferris, noting that they are super spreader events, off-campus parties. He said, most of our students, I think, are doing the right thing. Quite frankly, I think it's selfish of students who just aren't taking appropriate precautions. Dean, they're not taking precautions because they don't think it's real, and if it is real, it's not going to do anything to them. Because I'll just about guarantee you, those aren't a bunch of liberal, progressive Democrats throwing those humongous parties. I'd have a little, I've got a little experience with that. And thanks to David in South Carolina, Stan, for that, and for the 250,000 coronavirus cases that now have a direct line that runs from the cases to the Sturgis motorcycle rally. No shit. 250,000 cases. Yeah, how's that? Wow. NAO reporting that nearly 500,000 people showed up for the motorcycle super spreader event. And a new study using anonymized cell phone data from the rally. Well, 250,000 coronavirus cases have now been tied to the 10-day event. I suggest a class action suit against Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota. I think that would be a fine idea. How about you? 250,000 cases. It comes from the IZA Institute of Labor Economics in Germany. They wrote, their researchers wrote, the Sturgis motorcycle rally represents a situation where many of the worst-case scenarios for superspreading occurred simultaneously. The event was prolonged, included individuals packed closely together, involved a large out-of-town population, and had low compliance with recommended infection countermeasures, such as the use of masks. Because feed them. And the first reported death has come along now. A Minnesota guy in his 60s who just had to go down to Sturgis. Yeah. And so South Dakota, now North and South Dakota, now have some of the highest infection rates in the entire country. Because of stupid people. And the fact that we apparently can't, the intelligent people cannot adequately insulate ourselves from the stupid ones. Jesus. Well, it's all a Democrat hoax now, isn't it? Sure it is. Sure it is. And you know, it's over the weekend, Agnes and I watched, and you know, everybody else watched it a long time ago, but you know how it is. I don't like to watch something that isn't completely finished. Agnes and I binge watched Chernobyl. And what a horror. What an absolute horror. And you know what? Lay at the center of the Chernobyl disaster? The same thing that is at the center of this ongoing pandemic. A refusal to acknowledge reality. And it was some of the best TV I've ever seen. Especially when they got to the part where they ticked it down minute by minute and second by the second and decision by decision. And someday we'll be able to do that with the pandemic. And we'll see how. We will see how this thing unfolded to create the nightmare in which we now live. And it may be a couple of decades. Maybe it'll be 35 years, just like it was with Chernobyl before this thing got made. But people will watch in slack-jawed horror. As they see the series of deliberate, intentional steps that made this pandemic get worse and worse and worse. 4% of the population, the United States is 4% of the global population, and we have more than 25% of the cases. Because we're the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe, forever under God. Proving that, of course, at Lake Travis and outside of Austin, Texas this past weekend as a Trump boat parade took place on a reservoir that is notorious for killing people. In an ordinary year, there will be upwards of, I think, 30 drownings at Lake Travis because of the way the water behaves in that basic the earthen bathtub. But the maggot Navy was out. And they were flying as many Trump flags as they could, and the bigger boats went zipping up and down the lake, and the maggots with the smaller boats, well, they got drowned. They got their boats drowned. Hit me. CAG. Keep America great. Yeah, could you help us out? We're sinking here. No, unbeknownst to many, there was an Antifa submarine in Lake Travis firing torpedoes shaped like cans of soup at the boats. Mm-hmm. But it is Trump-tanic Tuesday, and so consequently, we've got some Trump-tanic intellect. The legend lives on from the Norwegians on down of the woman they call batshit crazy. Bachman, it's said, has bats in her head, and her thinking is nothing if not lazy. Yeah. Former Congresswoman Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman, whose husband deep throats a corn dog at the state fair better than most porn stars. Well, she went on Kenneth Copeland TV to explain to the people who watch Kenneth Copeland TV what Black Lives Matter really is. Yeah. She's a special and precious brand of stupid, Michelle Bachman. And of course, it's tied in with her bizarre evangelical beliefs. Because it always is. Tell us about it, Missy. You might want to get the hockey puck for this one.
And they were communists. They were Bolsheviks.
They were. And there was German gangs, and they had Antifa been around.
Is. If you go to their
just
website,
like
their
material, this is not a new movement either. These, on their website, these are transgender Marxists, transgender black Marxists, who are seeking the overthrow of the United States and the dissolution of the traditional family. What people need to understand is that...
transgender black Marxists!
Right. But this same... idea where you have a pretext, you create something. Like right now, the pretext in America is race wars, mm-hmm. that we're seeing race wars on America's streets. What this is a cover to bring about communism and a communist takeover. It happened in communist China. It happened in Venezuela, many countries. What people need to understand, the viewers, is that we currently, right now, are in a situation where communists are trying to come in and take over America. You say, aren't you a little overheated? Isn't this melodramatic? This is exactly what a communist revolution looks like. Mm. They think they're going to do it by electing Joe Biden. And then once Joe Biden is elected,
there's some stupid commies.
These Davos, Switzerland meetings that go on, they think that what they're going to do is have the United States economy collapse, move to a digital currency globally, and then we move in.
I hate to break it to batshit crazy, but if you're trying to set up a communist government in the United States, Joe Biden is not the way to go. And what's more, that's not the Central Committee of the Supreme Soviet that gets together every year in Davos. Missy, those are capitalists, honey. I know you're pretty slow, but those are capitalists. Those aren't people sitting around chanting, "Workers of the world, unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains." No. And that phrase, I mean, it's real. You heard it. These are transgender Marxists. Transgender black Marxists. Oh, dear. Seeking to overthrow the United States and the dissolution of the traditional family. Couldn't make that up in a million years if I tried. No, really. Holy cow.
Into a global type government. So I mean, it's bizarre, but that's where these people, this is their goal.
It's very prophetic, actually.
It lines up with scripture. For people who know their Bible,
sure,
this is exactly what the prophets told us, you know, 2,000 years ago would happen. And the prophets long to live in the days that we live in. Yeah. They long to see these days. But we're here in these days, and what we need to remember is that perfect love casts out fear.
Of course, as Stephen New York points out, the people in Davos is just code for the Jews. Sorry, Flavio. Flavio says, damn, I hadn't heard of her in a while. Poor thing. She must be starved for attention. Yeah, she's going on Victory Update on the Kenneth Copeland channel, I'd say. But it's these, wait a minute, black transgender Marxists. Did she have a little too much communion wine and watch RuPaul's Drag Race? Is that what we're dealing with here? Yeah. It's way up under Megan's fingernails now. What the fuck is a transgender black Marxist? RuPaul in a red dress, best I got. That may be the secret password for the evening. The password is black transgender Marxists. Because Brother Deacon Asa also says, transgender black Marxists? Is Michelle Obachman talking about Michael Obama? Oh, God. Oh, you reminded me of that, didn't you? You just had to. Steve, on the other hand, Mao was a black transgender communist? Yeah. What's more, so was Stalin. Woo! Prophets, says Steve in New York. Yea, verily, beware of the black transgender Marxists, for they shall bring pestilence and plague. From Paul's letter to the Lilliputians. black transgender Marxists. Meanwhile, Flavio notes, Lake Travis in Texas, Archimedes for Biden, Eureka! Urethra! Jimmy in the Great Northwest, Michelle Bachmann is slow bad. Yeah, I concur.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's what they want to bring to America's streets, homes, and hearts, yeah. Fear. So we stand on the Word of God, the Bible, and we say, Satan, flee. We're going to stand on the truth of God. And so that's why now more than ever, between now and the election, what we need to do is pray and cry out to Almighty God and ask for His protection Amen. Over America yes. and to speak yes. in this election.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Missy, y'all just pray all the way from now till the election, would you? All the way from now to the election, and for pity's sakes, don't waste any time voting. Keep praying. Don't vote. Pray. There we go. Yeah. Stephen, New York says, I don't think she actually thinks this, but she will believe it while the checks keep rolling in. That's the key. Did the check clear? Lee in New York asks, how many conflicting adjectives can you have for one noun? Mordor is not safe. The giant troll warrior farming hobbit wizards are casting their spells to make the eye of Sauron blind to stop him from seeing the truth because they want to destroy the most beautiful ring because it belongs to the ruler destined by God to save our world. No world is safe. Says Lee. Meanwhile, Megan points out, RuPaul's a drag queen. They need to get their gaze straight. Yeesh. Wait, get their gaze straight? I think that's what Michelle Bachmann's husband was engaged in. You know, pray away the gay conversion therapy. That, right. So, there we are. And just wow. I mean, is that Trump-tanic Tuesday material or what? That's breathtaking is what that is. And thanks very kindly to Jeremy. And not Jeremy in Vermont. And to Elizabeth. Elizabeth wiped out Joey's challenge, Joey and Giraffe's send 'em packing challenge, send 'em super packing. And now we are $10 into Paul from Parts Unknown's Our Allies Are Many challenge. Thank you very kindly. And a question coming from Steve in New York. Could Paul from Parts Unknown comment on this? Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, the Washington State model, is showing this. Projections. If we ease restrictions, 463,630.5 to 874,649.18 with a middle of 620,028.83. Current trajectory is a median of 410,450. That's 347,551 to 515,272. That's the 410,000 in the news recently. And if everybody was to wear a mask, it would be 257,286 to 327,775, a median of 286,406. What can we say here? Asks Steve. There will not be a universal mask mandate, so the projection based upon universal masks is facially inaccurate. I think it is telling, though. It means that deaths from the coronavirus would slow significantly. As the second wave hits, certain states will lock down again. However, I suspect that some, particularly in the warmer winter states, will stay the same or ease. Add in college football and pro football. My assessment would be on the higher end of the current trajectory or on the lower end of the ease restrictions given my football playing assumptions. My amateur projection would be closer to 515,000 to 615,000 deaths. I'm curious to see if Paul from Parts Unknown thinks my estimations are on point or if I'm all wet. Well, I think the one thing we can say with certainty is that if you live in a state with a maggot governor, bad things are going to happen. And whatever is bad now is going to get monumentally worse. As to Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman standing on the Bible, Bob, if they're standing on the Bible, wouldn't that make the cover awfully messy, and it would leave Marxists all over the cover of the Bible? Now these godless heathens on the right who tie their shoes in little Nazis really need to get their... See, little knot, tie their shoes in little Nazis? I did not see that coming. Not see. Really need to get their target straight. I understand Ernest Angley notwithstanding. I didn't come in his mouth. Your buddy, Dave, in the blind. Honestly, this level of weird would have impressed Tolkien. Can you say Tom Bombadil, says Steve in New York? Oh, slender as a speeding freak, spaced out groovy tripper. Oh, mush-brained maid whose mind decays with every pill I slip her. Oh, far-blown fair farina head, friend of birds and beetles. I, with eyes like ostrich eggs and fingernails like hypodermic needles. Oh, wait, that's Tim Benzedrine, not Tom Bombadil. And that's from Board of the Rings, not Lord of the Rings. David in South Carolina is pointing out, original estimate, there will be 2.3 million deaths as predicted in the estimate from last March. This is without mediation. We don't want no mediation down there in places like South Carolina stand. No, sir. Not at all. So we've reached the halfway mark of this Trump-tanic Tuesday. Let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd, how are you? Todd.
Listen, can you not say something fucking positive?
Sorry, I'm a little ray of fucking sunshine. That's my job.
I'm just saying.
I'm okay, wait. I can do this. I'm positive we're fucked. Does that get the job done?
You got my man right there. Yeah. Oh, God. Man, once again, you just burning up the bandwidth over here, man. I had to replace the copper cable. It just melted.
Yeah, what? Am I making the fiber glow?
You know, Tesla was like, hey, what the fuck are you doing over there, Negro? I said, excuse me. Oh, my God, man. No, but, yeah, you're burning this shit up. But that Michelle Bachman, what, that was like, let me think of the most, this is her, let me think of the most outrageous shit I can just jumble together. Transgender, Marxist, Black Lives Matter. I mean, what else can you just pile onto it like a baked potato? What else do you want to throw on top of that?
Black, transgender, Marxist, communist, fascists. Black, transgender, Marxist, fascist, communist, Rosicrucians. Black, transgender, Marxist, fascist, communist, Rosicrucian, Salvation Army.
Yeah. Now she would be good at that. I would like to see her in a little suit with the cauldron, you know, with the bell. Ding, 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 please.
Yeah, I wonder what COVID's. I wonder what COVID's going to do to that.
Man. You know, when
I wonder if they'll.
Bell,
I wonder if the Starvation Army will tell its bell ringers this holiday season to wear a fucking mask.
I don't know, but the minute that came out of my mouth, I had these memories of being downtown in Philadelphia and just giving whatever change I had. I mean, young.
Oh, wait. Black, transgender, Marxist, communist, fascist, Rosicrucian, Salvation Army, Freemasons, who are papists.
Woo!
And members of the members of the learned elders of Zion.
Many bases were covered. many bases were covered. Well, I don't know. There's a couple of things here. Oh, I mean, it's so much stuff going on. I had to really write, you know me. Tangent, man, I had to write some shit down for a minute. So I don't know if you talked about this. I mean, but, and I don't know, this is esoteric in a way. Maybe it's not. Did you see the news where an asteroid is coming the closest ever
yes.
to this Earth? It's not huge. Okay. Did you talk about that?
Not really.
What? How crazy is that? That's just fucking crazy.
Well, I mean, we live in a busy solar system.
But the timing, the day before the election.
Oh, I know.
That's a little bit much. All right. So it was nice to hear from a current lab worker, Paul. A fellow dish streaker. Well, that's how we used to start. You know, that's, anyway, it's good to hear somebody who's currently employed in that type of field. Because that makes a difference. And, you know, and when I bring this up, it makes me think about a lot of people. I'm not going to get into any specifics. But think about how powerful this cult is, where it had people thinking, and still has people thinking, well, masks don't do anything. When in fact, they figured that shit out over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, this is not new. So it's something's going on. We're just getting dumber. I don't know what's going on. It's dumbing down of folk. It's really sad. So what's going on in your world?
Well, like I said, I'm getting grounded. This daily commute to twice a day to Beckley is wearing me out.
Mm-hmm.
To say the very least.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because I'm glad you said it before, because it was on my mind. I know, and the last thing I said, you're dad, and you are. But, you know, maybe this is the time for some people to maybe work on themselves within the confines of a central location and you know, keep that motivation up inside. Like, you know, I know you want to work and do this and that, but that to put everyone else in danger is just, it's not a good thing.
And I can't
you have your windows open.
And I can't get
Do you have your windows cracked?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I can't get through.
Well, see, that's a microcosm of the problem. Like, we had to be mindful. Mindfulness is a serious word now. It means a lot. is heavy, as he used to say. It's a real heavy word, man. Mindfulness. Think about your actions. I don't like to, anyway, that was bothering me, man. That's some crazy doo-doo. That's a long time. That's the worst place to be in a vehicle. Are you kidding me? Ugh. Okay.
I know.
I just had to get it off my
chest. I understand.
It doesn't help. I mean, anything else but that, no. No, just don't. Yeah. So, Dave in South Carolina, he knows, and I guess Clarence knows, you know, our shit is University of South Carolina, which they like to call USC, but it doesn't mean, you know, University of Southern California.
Or University of Spoiled Children.
Yes, that's really what it means when you look around. Absolutely. Oh, those kids live. Are you kidding? They have numerous luxury apartment buildings that are dorms. I mean, they're luxury. They advertise like that. You know, like $1,500 a month for, you know, your suite. And he's got a pool and a sauna. But, you know, that's old slave money. They got long money. But so they want NPR because the outbreaks. What do these people think is going to happen? That's my small question. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, nothing, because it ain't real. Remember, Todd, it'll all be gone by Election Day.
Man. I cannot tell you.
So I stopped in. I stopped in at the Rippy Mart. And
the one with the pizza?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yep, the one with the pizza. I stopped in at the Rippy Mart and I said, look, and you know, they got some hand sanitizer there, so I was pumped some hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
I said, listen, gotta take this seriously. Of course he's not wearing a mask. None of them there do. None of them do.
Mm.
He's not wearing a mask. And I said, we gotta take this seriously because people with fragile health conditions can die.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? I had a fella in here today. He had media credentials on and everything. And he said, this will all be gone by Election Day. Mark my words. I said, son.
What?
I said, son, he was lying to you. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He was lying to you. It's not all going to be gone by Election Day. And when we don't take this seriously, it means that more people in our community will die. Do you want to be responsible for that?
That's frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah, media. What kind of media credentials? So what?
Well, for all I know, fucking InfoWars, you know?
Right. Yeah. This is a conflagration between what we're dealing with now. The defunding of education since we were young in the 70s and other things, and now it's just, I don't know, man. We already lost cause. We're a lost cause. And I would like to say something positive, but I don't see it. I just don't see it. Because that's what I'm experiencing. I mean, like, okay, at work Saturday, I had a nice group of people, and I was helping them with some things and what I do and the research and whatnot. And then in the bowels of the archives, this man, he was a nice guy. And he's like, do you mind if I take my mask off?
Yes.
I looked at him and I said, yes. I said, no, yes, I mind. I had to pause. I didn't say anything. I just looked at him. I didn't even say anything. Because my first, you know, if I were Trump, I'd be like, you fucking crazy person. But, no, I engaged my prefrontal lobe and I said, yeah, I said, you cannot. I said, number one, it's the law. Number two, look around. We're in the bowels of this building. This is recirculated air. I said, do you not read? This is just science. And I just dropped it at that. I said, it's just science. And they hate that shit. And it's too fucking bad. It's not my problem. I mean, it is my problem, but it's not. I'm like, that's my bottom line now. It's just science. If you want to argue with science, then I know you're a dumbass. I don't have shit. I don't have shit for you. I'm gonna do what I have to do in my, you know, my work hat. But you know, obviously, you're not. They believe, like we talked about before, that they believe in this herd immunity bullshit, which does not pertain to this particular.
Well, that's the problem. They believe in things. They don't know things. Belief is the adoption of a notion absent intellectual activity. And that's what makes it so damn dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like people believe that all police, all law enforcement are honest and upstanding individuals. That's what they believe. Where the empirical evidence glaringly shows the opposite.
No, and by the way, your neighbor David in South Carolina, Stan, noted that Nitwit Nero said that yesterday. He said the virus would disappear November 4th.
Oh, right after the asteroid? Oh.
I know.
That's funny. You know,
Commentary coming from Stephen, New York, about the mascot of the University of South Carolina. Stephen, New York.
Cock.
Yeah, Stephen, New York says, as a gay man, I really got to love a team whose nickname's the Cox.
Oh, that's a big deal here. You're allowed to say go Cox anywhere in the Columbia area.
Oh, the Mountaineers have played South Carolina a few times. And I remember seeing South Carolina fans wearing T-shirts with, you know, the big rooster on the front. It says, USC, nobody licks our cocks. Which is not something I would brag about if I was a South Carolina fan. It kind of means, you know, you're missing out.
Well, everyone doesn't like a smegma. Maybe there's that.
Well, I don't know how many radio programs there are in the United States, but I guarantee we're probably the only one that's had the word smegma included.
Yeah. So today was the first day I had been to Trader Joe's since spring, since the pandemic. And, oh, boy, everything's off. They don't have the same beer anymore. They at least the wine is there. And you know, that's where you're going to find the best of the best.
Did they have the good sourdough?
I didn't look only because I finally got my starter right. Oh, I have a bunch of starter. And
awesome.
I just started it and I forgot about it. Oh, whoa, I made pancakes last week.
You made sourdough pancakes. Yeah, heaven on earth.
Woo! With real maple syrup and butter and the nice maple sausage. Shit. Man.
Yeah, the smell of a true sourdough pancake on a griddle is for the ages. If you could bottle that smell, you would have a perfume that would guarantee that there wouldn't be a person in this country that didn't have someone to love them.
Mm. See? Oh, between that and the bottle of the smoke from the our barbecue clothes.
Yes.
Our grilling attire. All distilled down. Oh, boy. Yeah, so that was an interesting adventure.
So do you got Kroger's down there, don't you?
Oh, and it's just blocks away from the Trader Joe's, which it makes it.
You got to get you one of those flat iron steaks and try it.
I'll do that.
You know, it's like I said, it comes from the chuck. It's rectangular. It's best eaten, you know, I'm a medium rare kind of guy. And you just slice it paper thin. I marinate it in that Newman's Own Greek dressing or Ken's Steakhouse Greek dressing or Kraft, whatever. It's fantabulous. Especially if you're cooking over charcoal and you throw a little hickory on to get the smoke going to it while it's cooking. Oh, it's amazing. And Agnes was over the moon with the fried green tomatoes and the fried yellow squash.
Mm-hmm.
The trick with the fried yellow squash is you got to add some sugar to the flour, sugar and salt to the flour, because then as it fries, that sugar will caramelize the coating of that squash, and oh mercy.
I'm with you. Yes, I'm totally with you on that. I think people forget it doesn't even take a lot of sugar. Like, it, depending on the amount you're cooking, a half a teaspoon, just a little bit. It's chemistry, and it changes. It yes. So yep. That's all I can say. Yep. And so, how's your flat griddle working?
I hadn't used it in a while, so I kind of rehabbed it yesterday. The surface is just perfect. I had it, I cleaned it, boiled it, you boil it and scraped everything down. And then I put a coating of oil on it and let that bake down. And when I got ready to put the green tomatoes and the squash on, I just unwrapped a stick of butter and held the wrapped end and just painted that whole griddle with butter. And then laid down the individual slices and did them on both sides, then kind of mounded them up and put them all under a dome with a little bit of water and let them steam. Ding. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. That sounds great. Since we're talking about food, this is something everyone can do. You know, you can get these tortillas to make a wrap. You know, you can get the vegetable ones or get the regular ones or whatever. But, you know, there's something to ham and Swiss. That's why people have been eating ham and Swiss forever. Because it's just, or steak and Swiss. You know, it just works.
I'm looking, so, I've got a little bit of my, I've got a little bit of my Benton's country ham left, vacuum sealed. And here soon, I'm gonna get a good fire going in the acorn. I've got some white lily flour for biscuits, and I'm gonna make homemade biscuits and ham and dirty gravy again. That'll be wonderful.
Oh, it'll be nap time after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be special. Mm. Oh, by the way, you got a note from Steve in Georgia, Stan, Todd.
Steve.
Skeeve, blob. Something positive for Todd, Washington Journal call-in lines. To prevent the maggots from calling in on the Democratic phone line and saying, I used to be a Democrat, but... Washington Journal has changed the lines to support Trump or support Biden. A maggot actually called in on the support Biden line, Steve tells us, and tried to convince Pedro that he changed his mind while on hold, but Pedro wasn't having it. Steve said, That's all I got, man. Pizza zero.
I was listening. You know, I was just, you know, I'm a dick. But listen, this is on, you don't have to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to listen to it because it's on there. It's up on the website. But, yes, I know exactly what Steve and Georgia is talking about. Yep. And, right, that was a big deal. That was monumental because Pedro, he looked like, I don't know, I hadn't seen him. Well, I don't know, I guess he got out of rehab early or something, and he was on point. You know, he had a nice tie on. He had a nice striped kind of a vertical horizontal kind of preppy tie. Not vertical horizontal, but, you know, like the Republican-looking kind of lime green. I thought it was a nice tie. But anyway, I remember that, you know, because I can't stay away from it. Because that's a heartbeat of part of America. And it's scary. This shit is fucking scary. Some of the comments that you hear these people make. How can you say, well, I don't know, I was on the fence. What are you on the fence about? And I'm glad you brought that up. And I really, you know, I know we're talking about food, because food is so good, but let me say this quick about that ham and Swiss. The tortilla, right? You get that, you know, everybody, you can get Old Mission anywhere, Dollar General. Make the sandwich, cut it in half. Figure out, you know, you to follow directions on the wrapper and roll it up. Ham and Swiss, just a little bit of mayo, maybe some horseradish, and your, you know, the highest quality mustard that you can get. And when you heat that sucker up,
oh yeah,
in the skillet, and then of course it finishes off the tortilla. But then it makes those flavors just come together. I mean, I'm telling Bob, this is a $1 million sandwich. Like when you're on the road, you want that sandwich. Like when you go to, you know, stop to pee and get coffee or beer or whatever when you're traveling, you want that sandwich.
That oh, hell yeah. Will keep
you, I mean it. Oh!
And you mentioned the Old Mission tortillas. Something else, and you'd have to go to your local, like, international foods market, somewhere that stocks, you know, like Southeast Asian and Indian the ingredients. But there's a bread. It's called paratha, P-A-R-A-T-H-A. We love it here, and it's frozen, and you got to work with it from frozen. So either an iron skillet, nice and hot, or in my case, the griddle. You take the it's round, mm-hmm. it's like a tortilla, but everything changes when the heat gets to it. Because you plop that thing on the cooking surface, and it'll immediately thaw. And the way I watched it done is you take your fingertips and just tap it, and there's layers of it, and it'll stick and pull up a little bit, and then when you turn it, the whole thing puffs, and gets this beautiful crust. Oh, it's so good.
So it has the internal layer air pockets in it.
Yeah. And so I love it. I love it with, you know, really spicy chutneys, you know, just to dip. Or I prefer it with over pita with hummus. Ah, it's heavenly. And I love it with, there's a spicy tomato dish with chunks of paneer. You know, the Indian cheese, and it's called paneer makhani, and I can knock down some spicy paneer makhani with a couple of rounds of that paratha. Mm-mm-mm.
That sounds delicious.
I mean, that stuff makes it easy to be vegetarian.
See, oh, that's the other thing about Trader Joe's. They have some really good vegetarian. I mean, Morningstar is fine. I like the black bean. Other people like different types. They have a Southwestern, but you know, there are some good veggie burgers out there. If you have to, like, you know, clean out, you know, just change up for a little while, whatever.
By the way, Arnold in PA jumping in and says, yellow American for hot ham and cheese. I agree. Turkey and Swiss, provolone for steak.
Oh.
With a caveat. And I think I may have mentioned it last summer. But, you know, when I was in Reading Market, one of the most beautiful smells in that whole thing was this place that does pork loin sandwiches. And it just perfumed the whole building. And so I had to have one. I had to have one, and I got one.
Because you smelled it. You smelled it, and you narrowed it down where the fuck it was.
Yeah, I followed my nose, but here's the thing. It was the worst thing I ate the whole week.
Oh, but it smelled great.
Oh, it did, because that was the roasting pork. But they dressed it with broccoli rabe and what they called aged provolone.
Get a broccoli rabe off of there. That has no business on there.
But that aged provolone, I mean, I'm down with some aged cheeses. Sure. You know, I won't run away from an aged cheese. God, I love that aged Havarti.
Mm-hmm.
But this stuff wasn't aged cheese, Todd. This was back of the fridge cheese. I mean, it was horrible. It was it was skanky. It was nasty.
Well,
and between that and between that and the broccoli Rob, the sandwich was inedible.
Mm.
And you know, I don't turn my nose up at much food. I'll try anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that one, I mean, that just sticks in my memory. Isn't it funny how you remember your excellent meals and you remember the disasters?
Well,
and that was the worst. I kid you not. That was the worst sandwich I have ever eaten in my life.
Oh my God! I'm so sorry you had that experience.
Well, I mean, you don't have to apologize on the. You know, you're not apologizing. You're not held to account for the entire city, Todd. But I thought I'd mention that because, I mean, you know, good. You know the old saying. What is it? Sex and pizza are alike in that. When it's good, it's great, and when it's bad, it's still pretty good. This sandwich disproved that.
When you soon as you mentioned the broccoli Rob, I was like, eh. I was like, no.
Hate that shit.
You can't even chew it properly. It's like it doesn't. That's not. No, let's not do that. See,
let's don't say we didn't.
You know, the sandwich is not as simple as a lot of people like to think it is. That's why we say you have to build a good sandwich. You build it. You just don't
slap
it together.
When I was making those clubs and Monte Cristos earlier this summer. Yeah, those are architectural events.
Man, don't get me started on a good club. If anyone has never had a good club sandwich, they're missing out. Go wherever you got to go to get it, make it right, and then do it at home if you can do it. But you know, good bread, good meat, good cheese. It's the sequence. Oh, the club is perfect. With some nice, whatever you want, steak, fries, or potato, potato chips kind of detract from it, I would think. I mean, they serve it. Just because they serve it doesn't mean it's good. You know, something good in the middle. Wow. Yeah, you got me started on that food, man. That sounds delicious. This is what I'm concerned about right now. What is wrong with our fellow Americans that they cannot see this disgusting corruption? I missed out on some mail, an important mail. I had to call today that did not get delivered in a timely fashion. I mean, legal shit. And then we find out what we all thought, that this DeJoy degenerate, he's up to no good, like everybody else. I'm trying to think, and the people say, well, why can't you say something positive about Nitwit Nero and his administration? It's because, once again, they consistently engage in negative and antisocial behaviors. What do they do that's positive?
Yeah, you got me. I mean, I ran across that in social media. One of the things that a maggot will say trying to sort of stealth through a discussion is, well, I certainly don't approve of all of the things he's done, but he's better capable of dealing with the economy. And I don't get into arguments much, in social media anymore. Because I don't like dealing with maggots, because they don't approach things from intellect. They just sort of grunt and bark. But in that particular instance, I took the bait. I said, okay, tell me the things you don't approve of. I'll help. Do you approve of him being credibly accused by more than 20 women of sexual abuse or sexual assault? Do you approve of his xenophobia against people who aren't white? Do you approve of putting children in cages? Just tell me the things you don't approve of, and maybe we can have a sane conversation. And then it's crickets, because it turns out they don't disapprove of any of those goddamn things. You say, well, okay, tell me what you don't approve of. And then they can't tell you what they don't approve of, because the bottom line is, they approve of it all, Todd. All of it. It's not, none of those are okay. None of those are flaws for them. They're features. He's all made right, it, he's made it safe to scream that word all over America now. Well, I'm saying it because them rappers say it.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a tired trope. That I don't even want to, you know. They don't get well, you know, I agree with you. And it's sad. I mean, it's just the truth. Yes, I get that's what they have no problem with it because they have no problem with it. They don't want to say they agree. Oh, which dovetails into this next thing. Now, and once again, I'm going back to what Deacon Asa and you and I have been talking about, and I guess a lot of other people. 9 points, 10 points, 6 points, Biden ahead. That's losing. Wake the fuck up. If I don't see any motherfucking polls 21% ahead, I'm not feeling it. See, I had to say this for the 1,650th time. Self-reported data is the weakest type of data.
Yeah,
but it's what we have.
What it boils down to is it's anecdotal.
It's and when you mixed in emotional things like sex, everybody lies about who they fuck. So sex and race and ethnicity and are you a racist, all that skews everything. Do you understand our families torn? This is like the Civil War again, where you have people, this is like Kansas and Missouri. And yeah, you know, the bleeding Kansas, this is what this is. Right now. And, you know, I've been thinking about this. I think what really started tearing this country apart was that fugitive slave act. Because the North didn't want to have anything to do with it. They didn't really want no Negroes. But they didn't want to have to be, you know, responsible for rounding up no damn Negroes.
Well, they were tired of being told what to do. Because in that era, the South was, and basically from the moment the Constitution was ratified, the South ran the country. Because they put their thumb on the scales to make sure that the South would always have outsized influence, even though it didn't have the population.
They still do run the country.
Ding. Remember the Republican Senate majority represents, I think, something around 30% of the population of the country. A majority of 30%. The Democratic senators and the independents represent roughly 70% of the country in terms of population. You can't get much more of a flawed system than that. So basically, Republican senators from Georgia and Kentucky are rolling over Californians, Washingtonians, New Yorkers, Pennsylvanians, just because. Louisiana. The two senators from Mississippi have more power than two senators from California.
Yep.
That's a broken system, And now that the federal government will no longer examine diversity or privilege or critical race theory, it will not be legal to say that, you know, the entire government of the United States was set up on a foundation of slavery, even though it's true. That's the degree to which this country has become an Orwellian experiment. You cannot say things, like in this case, in relation to race, you cannot say things in the United States that are undeniably, unchallengeably, factually correct.
Empirical evidence.
You know, it's... I've seen the meme several times since the Battle of Lake Travis. Over the weekend, some maggot boat being overwhelmed by a wave, and the meme says, "Help! Our boat is sinking." And underneath it says, "Me. All boats matter."
Oh my God! You know. Once again, the Russians, they've already won. I mean, they already won this war. I'm not making this shit up. You look back, it's out, the information is out there. Just avail yourself of the information. Avail yourself of the Library of Congress. Avail yourself of the National Archives website, because more is being digitized every day for whatever reason.
Yeah, so I was talking about having watched Chernobyl with Agnes over the weekend. Did you see that?
I did.
So when she goes to the library and finds the paper on the reactor failure and two pages have been torn out?
Yep.
Well, that's the functional equivalent of shutting down critical race theory and diversity training in federal government agencies. In other words, it makes it more likely we're going to have a meltdown. Because we're not having the meltdown yet. The core's not on the floor yet. You know, over the weekend, you had Proud Boys and various other fascists running wild outside of, they didn't go to Portland this time. And they ran wild outside Portland and just marched in and started beating the hell out of counter-protesters.
Well, damn it, Bob, you're reading my mind.
And the cops, and the cops stood around like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. Just beating up some Antifa. Cool.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, when I heard that, I was coming back from the capital city, and I heard that, and it said the KKK folks. I just call them that. You know what I mean? They were firing paintball pellets at the Black Lives Matter protesters, and they quickly dispersed. And I'm thinking, well, where are the charges? Like, isn't that illegal to shoot? I mean, we already have seen. I know I have. It's out there. It's on video. It's out. Everything is recorded now. Reporters, when it first started with the paintballs, like, yeah, bruises. This dude had bruises on him from the paintball.
Nasty ass bruises, because those things aren't just floating through the air. What that is, even if you can't get it to the level of assault with a deadly weapon, it is malicious assault.
So, how is that okay? That's my point. How is that okay?
Well, it's not. But because the police forces of this country are practically out in the open in their alignment with the thugs, it's what the status is.
You know, we got a whole lot of trouble we got to deal with right now.
I mean, just moments ago, speaking at his Klan rally in North Carolina, surprisingly, there were a bunch of maggots behind him wearing Trump masks. I guess he's okay with wearing a mask if he made a buck off of it. He declared, "People don't like Kamala Harris. Nobody likes her. She could never be the first woman president. That would be an insult to our country." and they just cheered and clapped and hollered MAGA and spewed all over each other and Smolik and rubbed a little bit and larped around and lollygagged some more in delirious rapture over the words of their dear leader. And meanwhile, Kyle points out the Nazi Proud Boy fuckers are doing the work of the armed agents of the state for them.
I agree.
Oh, and we have to go back to horrible things people have eaten. Randy in PA, said, he says, you know, this could become an ongoing horn topic. The worst thing I ever ate, I was broke and in college and trying to save on groceries when I went to the local supermarket and found some very cheap store brand whole wheat Pop-Tarts. Well, it should have been a sign, Randy says, because the store brand was named Staff. Oh, I remember Staff store brand. When I read the ingredients, one of the main ingredients was soybean oil. I opened the package. Oh, dear God, this is gonna be rough on dinner in the Mountain Time Zone. I opened the package and bit into one and actually tried to swallow the bite when I realized that the soybean oil had turned totally rancid. God, that taste remains in my memory to this day. Ew. Ew. Rancid soybean oil should probably be a punk band name.
Yeah, I would think so. That's disgusting. You see how these things become indelible in our minds. I mean, it gets visceral. You know, our senses of smell, taste, sometimes sight, but especially smell and taste, they're almost hardwired.
Yeah.
Our hippocampus, and that's why it evokes memories. You put it in an old house, and it's like, oh, that smells like grandma. I get all these memories.
Oh God, the smell. There are two things for me from my childhood: the smell of home heating oil, and cabbage rose print linoleum flooring.
Damn, man, wait a minute. How granular did you get? Wait, back up. Say that again.
The smell of home heating oil and cabbage rose print linoleum flooring.
Cabbage rose print. I'm trying to figure out what that looks like.
You got to look up a picture of cabbage rose, but, you know. It was kind of a pale green with the cabbage rose in it.
Mm.
And the house that my grandmother was born in had that linoleum print on the floor.
Oh God. Right. I get it. It's amazing. And many people, a certain smell will trigger it. Like if people
have
a certain smell and people will vomit out of nowhere. It's like, oh, what happened? Are you okay? He's like, no, I got a whiff of, and they don't want to tell you what it is, you know. And this is like you're going to a meeting or something. It's like a, I'm like, damn, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, and you know if you're your friend worker, you know, they'll tell you.
Well, I just found the cabbage rose linoleum. So if you use a search engine and type cabbage rose linoleum, and then search images, it'll pop. It's mostly green with little pink and yellow cabbage roses. Yeah. And that all pervasive smell of home heating oil. It's right up there with not quite as obnoxious as kerosene. Oh, and a suggestion coming to you from Brother Deacon Asa, going back to the flat iron steak. I, too, am a medium rare guy. But if you have anyone in your family who prefers their steak well done, the flat iron is the only cut you can get away with it. It doesn't turn into Goodyear rubber, Brother Todd. And that's absolutely true.
I'm going to check it out.
If you get it just miserably gray all the way through, it will still be tender and juicy.
And you know, the workaround, and this is just a tip for everybody, like let's say they have, you know, wherever you go, they have, like, a New York strip done right can satisfy everyone, I would think, you know, without the bone. But because people like a different cooking temperature on their steak, like when they find a restaurant, what you do, you cut it, you cook it rare. And then what happens is that you cut it thinly, fan it out on the plate, you know, and these are heavy-duty plates. You put them under the broiler. And
right.
Get it right where
with a pat of butter underneath it.
With a pat so it doesn't dry out. And everyone's happy. And I'm just a little tip, you know, along the way. So, you know, Harry, you already know that. Oh, Deacon Asa. He's never missed a beat. Tell you that. So, you know what? I'm going to let you go, I guess. I know it was something else I had to ask you. Something that was going on. It wasn't politics. Oh, but anyway, but Kroger, you know, I hate to say it, but I love Kroger, actually. I wish we had one closer.
Yeah, Ron in Raleigh just told me that they shut down all the ones in the Raleigh area, and he's still getting coupons and gift cards.
That's not a good sign.
And as much as I love some of the other chains, the one nice thing about Kroger is it's sort of Little C Catholic. It's the same. It's the same. All, you know, it's universal. So, like that brand of vacuum sealed flat iron steak is going to be the same no matter where in the country you get it.
Well, they have they're massive. They have a massive distribution network. I used to stock for Kroger for about 2 weeks in college. 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, wait a minute.
Maybe. What?
This is from Steve in New York. If you have anyone in your family who likes well done, disown that person. Why? You know, why? Why are you? Why? I mean, it. Trump. Well, look. What does it say? Trump likes well done. And the thing is, if you're a well done person, you guarantee that you're getting the worst cut of meat in the fridge. Because when you get your shipment in, you inventory everything, and the really crummy cuts of meat, you write "hold for well done" and throw it in the back of the fridge.
Well, since you brought it up, let me say this: I was very disappointed this morning when Morning Joe did not immediately address the Esper issue. In other words, the president made a point to talk about profiteering from war and basically making arms for money, where he, in fact, was a vocal and an active advocate of striking a very large arms deal with Saudi Arabia. They didn't make a peep about that.
No, and what, over the weekend, the story broke of Louis DeJoy shaking down his own employees for political campaign contributions, and then supposedly reimbursing them. Yeah, this is, of course, illegal.
All right.
And Steve in New York just sent this along. This is... This is sort of along the lines of what I've been expecting. From CNN, drug giant AstraZeneca said Tuesday it had paused the trial of its coronavirus vaccine because of an unexplained illness in one of the volunteers. As part of the ongoing randomized controlled global trials of the Oxford coronavirus vaccine, our standard review process triggered a pause to vaccination to allow review of safety data. This is a routine action which has to happen whenever there is a potentially unexplained illness in one of the trials, while it is investigated, ensuring we maintain the integrity of the trials.
You know, that's doublespeak for we're slowing this shit down because we cannot follow this asshole anymore.
I think it's this shit don't work and it's hurting people.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, both are true. Right, exactly. How can you rush something like this? This is crazy. But of course, we're going to get people sick. This is hard as hell. What the fuck? You know, come on. And the reason I say that, for a lot of reasons, but if we look at the anecdotal evidence,
You know, and pretty soon, and I really think the empirical evidence is going to follow anecdotal. This is, I'm not saying it's a smart virus, but I'm saying that this is a very ideal virus in that it figures out, it almost acts like a spirochete in that, I'm not saying it goes dormant, I'm not saying it goes into your spinal column, but I'm saying that it will lay low and figure out a way to hurt your body. Because look how many different ways it affects different people. Some people's lungs get compromised. People have been losing organs, which, you know, that's a lung. We have neurological effects. There are a lot of, you see, and we talked about that early on because it's new. This shit, are you understanding what I'm saying here?
Yes. Absolutely.
So this is what I don't understand. This country is awash in money right now. I mean, awash. Why can't we just stop for, like you said, for maybe more than 6 weeks?
6 weeks would probably
do it. Everybody knows when you pay for energy. That's a necessity. Everybody, you know, keep your power on, a stipend. Just don't, you know, come on, man. This is like, what is wrong with these people? What disturbs them so much about this? Because we already know when you artificially shut down the economy, it will pop right back. There's demand. Look, come on, there's demand. There will be demand. I'm sorry. You want to say something?
No, go.
I'm just, it's just so obvious. So the opposite of that, when you look at where they're coming from, they're just that fucking evil. What is, these people are really, really social Darwinist nasty. And I have to really think now, because we've heard this meme. We know people. You get around, I get around. A lot of people think there's just too many people on the planet. They don't have a problem with it because they're reptilian. Once again, back to the reptilian. They're operating from the lower part of their brain. That's how they think. How else could you come to these conclusions?
I think you've nailed it. You know, it's like a poster from a protest that I saw. A young woman wearing a mask has a sign that says, "The reason you don't see cops shutting down KKK rallies is the same reason you don't see Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus sitting in the same room." You know, they're the same person. Something on the order of about half of America in an Ipsos poll says that uh, 49% of Americans say America's already done enough to give black Americans equal rights with white Americans. And the poll was taken in late August. Only half the country says agrees with the statement racism is built into the American economy, government, and educational systems. And then probably one of the most disgusting aspects of the poll more and more white Americans are now saying that anti-black racism is a big problem in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's working for them.
Well, you know, honestly, in a sociological sense, there are a lot of moving parts to where we got to this point. You know, and the Russians did not help. They're not stupid. Come on, they're polylingual. we can, you know, most of us can barely speak English. And you see they've infiltrated the NRA and our government. I mean, there's no doubt they've infiltrated the Congress and the president. And, you know, it's nothing new. It's just they were very successful this time. And it's unfortunate.
Well, they've been working on this for years.
Yeah, for years. You know? And what they really wanted was our cheesesteaks. And water.
Water. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Rich in Ohio taking the contrarian position. You say, why would you like well done? I ask, why would you like rare? Jeffrey Dahmer liked rare. It's not quite the same thing. Megan likes her steaks medium well. Come at me, bros! It's just all the flavor disappears.
Look, this is the perfect steak. You get a big plate, olive oil, ground salt, ground pepper, in the olive oil. Coat the steak, both sides. The skillet, the iron skillet's already hot. The oven is on 500 degrees. You sear the steak about 30 seconds each side. Then you put, and the pan is already hot. Like, it's hot where you can't touch it. You have to have an oven to even move the cast iron skillet into the oven. The oven's already hot, like a pizza oven. Hot, hot, hot.
Yep. That's why yesterday. That's why yesterday when I did the flat iron steak, I ran the the acorn up to 550.
Yeah.
And then I right before I put the steak on, I dropped in the hickory chunks, put on the steak, and the smoke just billowed because the hickory caught and burned almost immediately.
Woo! Oh. See, that's what you want to slice when you get on your plate. Slice it really thin.
Exactly. And by the way, that flat iron steak goes well with paratha, too.
That sounds delicious.
Yep. One other thing. Have you seen this business with Bill Barr that broke today? I mean,
I'm so disgusted. Wait.
They're not even trying to hide what they're doing anymore. Bill Barr is a criminal enterprise of one. So his Justice Department has moved to intervene in the civil suit that E. Jean Carroll filed against Donald Trump for defamation.
He dug that deep.
So the Justice Department is trying to intervene, claiming that he was acting within the scope of his office or employment at the time of the incident out of which the plaintiff's claim arose. And so the United States will file a motion to substitute itself for President Trump in this action, meaning that Donald Trump doesn't have to pay for his own fucking legal defense.
Oh, boy. You know what? There's nothing we can
do
about
it. Because remember, one of the more significant aspects of the Justice Department is that it sets policy for the entire executive branch. That's why we still have that stupid ruling, that opinion, that the President of the United States is above the law and cannot be prosecuted while in office, even if he takes a loaded gun and commits cold-blooded murder in front of 100 different law enforcement officers. You still can't arrest him.
Pepe couldn't even say that you can't vote twice. You had to pull it.
And so now they have Bill Pepe the Frog Barr has established official government policy by this filing that the Justice Department will defend the President of the United States against intentional dignity torts.
What?
Oh, okay. No. You want it in English?
No, you can't do that.
The Justice Department now says that the President of the United States can commit libel and slander, and that they will defend it, and that he is entitled to do it because he is president. The President of the United States can libel or slander anyone he wants to. This is the very definition of a lawless presidency.
I think if the pandemic had not happened, I really believe there might have been maybe motions toward holding this person to account.
The reason they jumped in on this is because E. Jean Carroll is getting perilously close to being able to depose Donald Trump and get a DNA sample. Because she still has her cum stained dress from when he raped her.
Yup. He's scared of that. So that's exactly why he's stepping up like that. Bill Barr is. He is disgusting. He is absolutely. And what was he doing in traveling with him to these areas where there's been unrest? You know, it's really sad. We know we need police. We need police. We need good police. We need good, competent police.
We need good people who aren't police too. God, I mean, it's just it's the level of heartbreak that attends the murder of Mr. Prude in Rochester. Now, he was badly mentally ill, desperately in need of help, naked as the day he was born, ranting and raving in the middle of the street, and his brother couldn't handle him, called the cops, and the cops came and murdered him.
I can't keep up, honestly.
They put a spit bag over his head and suffocated him. That's what they call it, a spit bag, a spit hood. Because the brave, brave police officers were afraid they might get a little spit on them.
It sounds like terror.
Well, it is. And you know, the cruelty is the point. There's another thing that's going around, and it has to do with another police murder earlier, in which a person was said to be agitated, and so the police ordered this person to be fired up with ketamine. Now, ketamine is a drug compound.
It's actually popular
with the
in the club.
Yeah, with the club, the like club, the and the rave crowd, boom, right? Boom,
boom. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
So they.
But you don't want to be given.
They gave dude a dose that was twice as high as it should have been for a person of his weight, and they killed him dead.
Well, there's a lot,
and it's used as a, and the fact.
Wait a
that,
minute, who gives them the right to inject these
right.
drugs?
Right. How is it? You can inject drugs to on a person when you are not trained in that aspect of medical science?
You see that? That's a whole universe of fucked upness right there. It's like we can't even get beyond that part. Like, okay, where's the alcohol swab? Where's your training? What? Then there's the what? Wait a minute. This idea does not pass muster. That's the whole thing.
I did a deep dive into it about a week ago, and apparently it's a thing all over the country where cops, if you're disorderly, can jack you up with some ketamine to calm you down, and all you can do is hope that they don't OD you. Because Narcan will not help you in that situation.
Ooh. Well, it's a good thing I'm already in prison, so I don't have to worry about it. No, I'm just kidding. That's some fucked up shit, man. What the hell is going on? That's crazy. No, what you just said, the whole last, like, 2 point, I don't know how long it was, 2.5 minutes, something like that. That's insane shit. That's some insane shit. Who gives them the right? You know, everyone can't do everything. And you know what? Everyone can't do everything. And this is about, like, the Attorney General, you know, his conspicuous consumption. You know, he's so out of control now where he's like, yeah, I love prime rib. And he's wearing au jus sauce like cologne. Okay.
Yeah, NBC News reported, ketamine is most commonly used by veterinarians on animals and as an anesthetic in some surgical procedures on people. But we let the cops do it to people.
It's an animal tranquilizer.
In this particular case, the cops in Denver murdered a young black man named Elijah McClain. And it was heartbreaking in the first place because he was a dear soul. No one says anything but you know, even if you're not a particularly nice person, you still, there's still not a right for the cops to come up and OD your ass.
Okay.
Just after 10:30 p.m. on August 24th, McClain, a massage therapist, was buying iced tea from a corner store. He wore ski masks because he had a blood condition that made him feel cold. Three officers of the Aurora Police Department, Aurora, Colorado, got called because someone reported a suspicious person wearing a mask and waving his arms. The cops roll up on him, and they order him to stop. He says he's an introvert, and please respect the boundaries that I am speaking. Then the cop said, oh, he reached for one of my guns. That's when they took him to the ground.
Wait a minute. He articulated that he is an introvert and he wants his space?
Yeah, he was on the spectrum, apparently, as we say in America, but nobody
else. Wow. That's pretty good communication. I think those communications.
So they choked him. They call it a carotid control hold. They choked him to restrict blood flow to his brain. And make him go unconscious because they claimed he resisted contact and a struggle ensued and he was taken into custody. He went unconscious, and then as he was failing in consciousness, he said, I can't breathe, please. And once he got on the ground, he vomited. And the medic, a medic told the cops, when the ambulance gets here, we're going to go ahead and give him some ketamine. And the cops say, sounds good. It looks like he's on something anyway, and he had incredible strength. You know, all black men have incredible strength.
Right.
And so the Aurora Fire Rescue medic shows up and fires him up with 500 milligrams of ketamine. The coroner got in on the act and said, well, you know, his death was due to undetermined causes. The evidence does not support the prosecution of a homicide. And there was marijuana in his system, along with the ketamine.
Well, number one, this is something that everyone needs to, everyone. I don't
well,
care.
Here's one last
Wait,
fact.
No, let me say this. This okay. is very important. Whenever law enforcement takes a life, if you notice, the concern is over the person who got killed by law enforcement. Well, did they have a rap sheet? Did they have drugs in their system? But who was the killer? What type of Facebook posting do they have? Are they on steroids? Do they have lead poisoning from firing weapons inside or for whatever reason? You know, are they crazy? How many complaints do they have against? That should be the first thing. They're the ones who pulled the trigger. That's the first thing. And then you're talking about injecting drugs. Like, I understand what ketamine is. I get it. And this is, it's so out of bounds that that's even
How is that a thing? That's, you know, this is like Holman Square in Chicago. This is some crazy shit. And if you don't know what Holman Square is, Google it. But how do they know what type of prescription medication? Oh, they don't know anything about this individual. This is what I'm hearing from a lot of America. Just comply and you'll be okay. However, you know, it's not as simple. That sounds simple and neat and nice. It really does. But that doesn't mean shit in real life. This is what people have to get. That doesn't mean anything. That means nothing. Because you have people drawn from the general population who are serving us, who are being paid by our tax dollars, who are unfit for doing what they're doing. And the way the system is set up, they can do, we don't have.
And remember, none of them have an IQ over 100.
They don't want that. Because they don't want to see any gray. They don't want people who see any gray area.
So just to wrap up on what happened to young Elijah McClain.
Yeah.
The medic shows up and says, well, he appears to be 220 pounds. And so he fired him up with 500 milligrams of ketamine. You dose ketamine at 5 milligrams per kilo of weight. So it was nearly a double dose for the 5'6" tall, 140-pound young black man. He was 220 pounds!
Well, the medical community has already documented where...
No, because every black man in America is...
They believe that black people can take more pain. We don't get enough pain medicine. Hello?
Yeah. But the other side of it is that Tamir Rice was fucking Shaka Zulu as far as that Cleveland cop was concerned. And so was Elijah McClain.
Oh. Well, you know, what is a black life worth? What is a life worth? You know, it is about race, a lot of it, obviously. But a lot of it is like, where is the power structure? How are you operating in this fashion? This is why we have a criminal justice. Your job is not, in other words, let me look at the root of what the infraction. Okay, so he didn't do exactly what you wanted him to do because he might have had a counterfeit bill. Does that mean that you can just shoot him and then the whole situation's done? What the fuck? That just does not pass muster. Once again, muster. That word means something. Muster.
Yeah. Well, dig it. Okay, Minneapolis, where they just used the old-fashioned way of killing George Floyd, they could have used ketamine. Because in 2015, Minneapolis police used ketamine 4 times. By 2017, the Minneapolis police were using ketamine 62 times.
Mm.
You can use it in Minnesota. You can use it in Colorado. And in 20% of the people you give it to, they're going to hallucinate or have a bad reaction after they wake up.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
And we're going to trust a cop. We're going to trust a cop with an IQ under 100 to make the call.
Who the hell? All right. See what you said is some serious shit. I mean, you just laid a germ of a very big problem, because think about how we work now, how society works, how ideas travel. You know, people on social media. And groups, you know, because law enforcement, they hang out with each other because they feel comfortable. So the social media, so they're spreading that shit like a virus through the internet. They're like, hey, you know, tell your department to get this. You know that's going on then. It's got to be.
Sure.
So now we have to be on, you know, that's a terrible idea. How is that okay? No. And then they talk about they don't want Antifa. They don't like any fascists, but you love fascists. They love fascists. They love fascism. This is insane shit, man. This is a backwards world. We are fucked. Oh, my God. This is crazy shit.
And look, like I said, and like a lot of us, listen, this little 10-point, 5-point, 6-point lead by Biden, that means we're 30 points behind.
No shit.
I hope I'm wrong. But the fix is in. There are too many factors going on.
If you're at six, you're you're about 1.8 points above the margin of error. That should be terrifying.
Right. That's the whole right. Exactly.
I saw an interview over the weekend with a woman who had been part of a panel. It was a bipartisan panel to game out different election scenarios. Mm. And every single scenario that they gamed out resulted in chaos and violence and people in the streets, except for one.
Which one was that?
The only electoral scenario that results in a peaceful transition of power in 2021 is the one where Joe Biden wins so overwhelmingly that there is no way to contest it. And, of course, I've been saying that for well over a year. Whoever was the nominee has got to win by so much that there's no way that they can fuck with it. Kind of the way that Obama beat McCain and Romney.
Okay. So where does Jill Stein fit in?
Oh, Jesus. Well, it's not Jill Stein this
year. I'm giving you a softball. Come on.
No. It's not Jill Stein this year. I forget the guy's name.
I know that, but you know what I mean.
He's like a 30-time loser. He runs on the Green Party for practically every ballot position on the ticket and loses every time. He's worse than a stopped clock. He's not even right twice a day. And so here in West Virginia, you've got our manifestation of the Green Party, the so-called Mountain Party, telling West Virginia progressives, well, don't vote for Joe Biden. Just go ahead and vote for whoever the greenie is. Because your vote doesn't matter anyway. This is Trump country, and Biden can't win. So help the Greens and the Mountain Party get permanent ballot status and get federal funding. In the middle of a fucking pandemic, the Mountain Party's doing that here.
There's something to be said. Like, we understand the on-the-ground stuff, how it works. However, there's something to be said for being heard. And we know that the Electoral College is rigged. We know that our elections are being manipulated. And we have a whole lot of shenanigans going on. Which just leaves us with like one option is to vote. It doesn't even matter if you don't like Biden. That's not the fucking point. Don't even think about Joe Biden. Only reason you think about Joe Biden is when you go to vote. Think about what could happen. Think about what is happening. Look at this cabinet. Look at this administration. Is this good or is this bad?
The shakedown artists, the grifters, the lick spittles, the foot pads, the cut purses, the highwaymen.
I love the cut. I love that. Man, that's some good shit. That's some real good shit.
And Darlene writes in, because we're running out of time, back to Bill Barr. Not only that, says Darlene, but I can't recall an attorney general that gives as many sit-down news interviews as Pelham Barr. Do either of you? Those interviews are transparently strategic, totally designed for spin and attention. I'm telling you, Barr was jealous of his former colleague and not pure enough Scotsman Robert Mueller, who was becoming nationally and internationally famous as special counsel while he, Barr, was wasting away in obscurity. The obscurity part Barr has admitted to in his own right. And finally, here was a president, Donald J. Trump, as George H.W. Bush had no desire for such elevation, who could realize Pelham Barr's whack-off dreams of a unitary executive, of autocracy, of monarchy. Like Biden said recently, and I paraphrase a bit, Darlene notes, Barr's not only a horrible attorney general, but an even worse intelligence officer.
Intelligence officer?
Yeah,
huh.
Well, you get the point. Yeah.
Right. But, right. Well, I mean, this is what, okay, and please, I have to get this, I know I said it before, but I have to say it again. I am disappointed in us allowing the media, the for-profit media, to say, well, he's a dish, you know, I'm just Bill Barr, and I just eat hamburgers and go home and eat french fries and all. That motherfucker has been devious since he was fully developed as a legal person.
And and that was his daddy who hired Jeffrey Epstein, right?
That would be correct. Look at his affect. Now, when you see him, I've been watching this motherfucker's body language. Whenever he does not like being questioned by strong, intelligent women, number one, just like Trump. And he starts to roll his pen or pencil in his hand. And if you notice, at the most recent hearing he had, he looked indignant, like, I shouldn't even have to be here. Who are you motherfuckers? And he could barely raise his hand and say, I'm going to tell the truth. Because he knew he was going to lie like a cheap rug. Now, and that with every single one of these mugs that we've had as attorney general has perjured themselves. Now, why is it that we have a statistically significant portion of this country that is willing to vote for what is clearly, I mean, at this point, we're almost 4 years in. Like, well, let him do this. What? Bitch, are you fucking crazy? Have you not been reading? Pay attention. All these people are corrupt. They're liars. And it's just like in every decision, who does it benefit? Cui bono? Russia. And with the stars and stripes, you know what? Putin probably just threw that in like sprinkles on the sundae. Like, hey, you know what, Donald? I don't like that stars and stripes. Can you do something about that? Because if you notice, I've been noticing his body language also. The orange, you know, knit with Nero. He's under the thumb now. Big Pee-Pee's up to something. He's got the pressure on him now. And that's why he looks like that's why our president looks like he's about to pop.
Yeah, that's what Darlene just said. Don't forget, Bill Barr brought Whitewater to D.C. That too. There's nothing there's nothing filthy in this country that he hasn't had his hand in over the past generation. Oh, and E. Jean Carroll, the lawsuit against Trump that Bill Barr wants to intervene in, she's called his bluff. To Donald J. Trump, sir, I and my attorney, Robbie Kaplan, are ready. So is every woman who has ever been silenced. So is every American citizen who has been trampled by Bill Barr and the DOJ. Bring it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. So I am totally not in disagreement with the tertiary neurosyphilis. And when you, I mean, it's just one of a number of things. That's why he's a walking cauldron of pathology. But remember, the Corey Lewandowski crew, remember, they went in and seized his medical records. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
See, all this stuff is coming together. And remember how he could not, like, his coordination's off. He couldn't drink, you know, he couldn't pull a bottle of water up to his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Shambles around.
Yeah. See, I had a note from Jeremy in Vermont earlier. Jeremy wrote to say thank you for my mention of the Netflix movie Capone?
Yes.
Jeremy said it explained so much. Not only about Capone, but about Trump.
Yep.
Which is exactly, you know, Tom Hardy, I saw the same thing as I watched it.
And see, folks, anyway, folks.
Yeah, there it is, there it is. Thanks for the mention of Capone with Hardy. Watched it over the long weekend. Amazing. It explains Trump way too well as well.
Yep. Yep. It was really interesting. And you know, it might not be what people, you know, some people say, you know, Netflix, everybody has Netflix. Not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people. So you breeze through it. It's like, oh, Capone, I've seen enough Capone movies. But it's not that Capone movie.
No, it's not.
Totally, it's not. It's, you know, it's wonderful. It's very interesting. So this is the thing, and it's not just, I don't understand my fellow Americans right now. I really don't. I'm very disappointed. People should be like outside.
Yeah, but Todd, it's a delayed disappointment, because what we're finding out is not that we've become worse, it's that we never got better. We got to a point in this culture where we drove them underground for a little while, but along comes Trump. And they've been coming out, you know, the teabaggers were just reconstructed John Birchers and Klansmen and the like.
Okay. Those are the guys that...
But once upon a time, we drove them underground and made their conduct and their behavior unacceptable. Well... President Shit for Brains has made it acceptable again.
Yes, you're perfectly right. And let me say this. It was nice hearing Arnold. I heard him a few weeks ago, because I remember Arnold. And Salinar, I heard him the other day. It was nice to hear his voice. And I would like to hear Mrs. Baker. It would be nice to hear her once in a while.
Yeah, I'll have to pester her and see if I can get her on the program soon. You know, she's a new mom. She adopted her nephew, and so all of her efforts are hell bent on keeping her and him safe and healthy.
I see. Makes sense.
And meanwhile, a note from Kyle to wrap things up. This country's downright evil. There, I said it. It hurts me to say it, but what else would you call a country whose government treats its people worse than shit and 40% of the people approve of it? Killing disabled people for being disabled. Would anyone please care to tell me how the fascist states of America are any different than Nazi Germany? And that dovetails with something that Frank sent along from KUTV, Salt Lake City. 13-year-old autistic boy. He's recovering in the hospital at present, having been repeatedly shot by police with injuries to his shoulder, both ankles, intestines, and bladder. He's a white kid, surprisingly. Mama called the police. And again, this is the same story as was the case with Mr. Prude in Rochester. She asked for a crisis intervention team. She said her son, who has Asperger's, was having a mental breakdown. The crisis intervention team, she was told, this is how to deal with people with mental health issues. So you call them and they're supposed to come out and be able to de-escalate a situation using the most minimal force possible. So then the cops showed up. She was on the phone. She said, I said he's unarmed. He doesn't have anything. He just gets mad and he starts yelling and screaming. He's a kid. He's trying to get attention. He doesn't know how to regulate. The cops showed up. Two cops went through the door, told her to stay outside. And in less than 5 minutes, she heard, "Get down on the ground!" And then she heard multiple gunshots. And the cops wouldn't say if he was dead or not. They handcuffed him.
Oh, shit.
And one cop said to the other, "He's just a child. What are you doing?" The cops, meanwhile, said he was having violent psych issues. A juvenile having a mental episode and making threats to some folks with a weapon. He was 13 years old. His mama said, "He's a small child. Why didn't you just tackle him? He's a baby. He has mental issues."
What has become?
And this is a woman whose father was gunned down by police in Nevada in January 2020.
Oh, great. Okay, so he's not going to have any issues. Okay.
But, you know, in Merca, in a decidedly racist country, fascist country, well, you know how fascists feel about the undesirables, how fascists feel about people who are not physically up to snuff. And that's where we are. That's who we are. That's why we send cops to shoot mentally ill people or strangle them or suffocate them instead of sending trained mental health professionals who know what the fuck they're doing. Well, damn. I lost Todd. But we're 9 minutes over, and that makes up for some about 13-minute gap in the program. I apologize for that. So we'll wrap up. Tomorrow the fundraising goal will be $425. We have $90 to go on Paul from Parts Unknown's We Are Many, We Have Many Allies challenge. Thanks to y'all for responding to Ralph's challenge and to Joey and Giraffe's challenge. That was very kind of you. Thank you. There's a possibility I may be a little bit late to the microphone tomorrow because, again, I gotta get on my horse and do the Beckley commute. God, I wish there was some way to do it differently. But thank you all for keeping the program on the air. Thank you to our subscribers and our a la carte contributors. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Hey, a reminder, Fresh Malloy coming your way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on HeadOn.live, the best place to listen to the Mike Malloy program. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please take Paul from Parts Unknown's note to heart. Move your social distancing to at least 10 feet. Become a religious fanatic about your mask, your gloves, your hand sanitizer. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands at least 20 seconds. Soap and water is great. Carry a little bottle of hand sanitizer with you everywhere you go. I recommend some Clorox wipes in the car. And for God's sakes, if you see some woman coming toward you hollering about the black transgender Marxists. Avoid her like the plague. Because she is. Later, y'all.